We're looking now at Chidushi Agram Alevi on the Rambam Perik Beis Mehilchus Me'ilah Halacha Hey, and specifically we're going to focus our attention on page Kuf Chaf Beis, which is the middle of this wonderful, magnificent piece. Let's just review what we know. The Rambam has a havamina that there would be no me'ilah in Paraduma because its status is that of Kodshei Bedek Habayis. And the only reason Lamaskana there is me'ilah in Paraduma is because the Torah calls it Chatas. And the Rambam is a Pella because Adarabba, the paradigm of me'ilah is Kodshei Bedek Habayis. So how can the Rambam say that Afal Pi, even though it's not, it's got the Kedusha Bedek Habayis, there's no, and therefore there should be no me'ilah, but nevertheless it's called Chatos? So first, we went back to the Gemara itself. The Gemara Menachos Daf Nun Aleph seems to assume that the Pasuk Chatos, in the context of Paraduma, is teaching us that there is me'ilah. And again, the same kasha, why do we need the Pasuk Chatos to teach me that there's me'ilah? Even without Chatos, it would be considered me'ilah, and so far it's Kodshei Bedek Habayis. And one way of going here, one approach, is that of Tosis. Tosis says that in the case of Paraduma, there are two stages. There's stage number one, when you designate the Para as a Paraduma, we'll call it Hakdosha. And then the stage number two, which is called Shechita. At the point of Shechita, then it becomes understandably a Kedusha of Chatos. In other words, the Shechita itself begins the process of Chatos. And Tosis says that we have a principle called Ein Moel Achar Moel, which means that as a general rule, let's say in Kodshei Bedek Habayis, once you use it, you usurp it for your own purposes and benefit thereof, violating the Issur Me'ilah, the Kodshim is no longer Kodshim, but rather it's Yotze L'chulin. However, here the Torah wants to tell you that in Paraduma, there's an exception to the rule, that once the Shechita was done, then if Me'ilah was subsequent to the Shechita, there's no Yotze L'chulin, because we're elevating the status of a Paraduma, we're adding another dimension to the Kedusha of Paraduma, and that's going to introduce or activate, if you will, the principle called Ein Moel Achar Moel. So for example, if not for the fact that you shechted the Karban and you upgraded its Kedusha to the level of Kedushas Chatos, if not for that, we would have said Ein Moel Achar, I'm sorry, we would have said Ein Moel Achar Moel. And why is that? Because with the first Me'ilah, it's Yotze L'chulin, and there can't be a second Me'ilah. The Chiddush here of Chatos is that the Paraduma after Shechita now takes on a new status as Chatos, and then there will be Moel Achar Moel, meaning even though the Kedusha of Bedek Habayis was removed by virtue of the Me'ilah, but nevertheless there's still a Kedusha of Kedusha Saguf, and as a result there will be a second Me'ilah. In any event, all that is good for Tosus. It's not going to help us with the Rambam. The Rambam says clearly that we're talking about after Hukdusha, after the Hegdesh, and from that point on the Rambam says there is no Me'ilah, or I should say the following, there should logically not be Me'ilah. And the reason for that is because it has the status of Kodshei Bedek Habayis. And that doesn't seem to make any sense, because Kodshei Bedek Habayis should not remove Me'ilah, but it should generate Me'ilah. And the Rambam's talking even before Shechita. So again, I have more copies here, David, if you want to, or if you'd rather listen Baal Peh. You look very fancy today. You coming from a simcha?
I'm going to a wedding.
Are you going to a wedding? Yeah. Oh, very nice. B'shad tov, mazel tov. I was thinking of joining you, but I didn't get invited.
Next time. Sorry.
Okay.
My fault.
No, it's okay. Just kidding. So in order to understand this Rambam, in the case of Paraduma, Rav Moshe introduces a concept which fundamentally differentiates Berek HaBayis and the Me'ilah therein and Kodshim Mizbeach. In the case of Kodshim Mizbeach, there's no bailus of Hegdesh. In fact, who owns the carbon? The Bala carbon, the one who's mafresh the carbon. He designates the carbon, it's still his. And that's called in the Lashon and Gemara Bava Kama Meikar Tura Deruva Hashtut Kuduri. The fact that he was magdish the carbon doesn't remove it from his ownership, his bailus. But Me'ila, in that case, is because anything that's designated for the Mizbeach, it's Kadosh Lashem. Lashem means for the purpose of Lashem. It generates an Isur Me'ila. But fundamentally, we have a different category of Me'ila, which is more classical, and that's Kodshei Berek HaBayis. Kodshei Berek HaBayis is not Kodosh Lashem. What it is Mamon Hegdesh Bekinyono. You're just transferring ownership over the object to Hegdesh. So, for example, if I'm Magdish this table as Berek HaBayis, then the Gizbar comes and takes away, confiscates the table, because now it belongs to Hegdesh. Me'ila, in the case of Kedushas Berek HaBayis, means Gzela. You're really stealing from Hegdesh, because Hegdesh are the proud owners. Now, in the case of Paraduma, which has the Kedusha of Berek HaBayis, in the Kasha we thought that would certainly generate Me'ila, but the answer is no, it would not be generating Me'ila. Why? Because the monies that are taken to buy the Paraduma are taken from what's called the Trumas HaLishka. We have two different Trumos, two different, shall we say, piggy banks. We have what's called Trumas HaLishka, and we have Trumas Berek HaBayis. So, for example, if money is donated or accrues to Berek HaBayis, that means that that money, when it's used to buy something, to purchase something as Berek HaBayis, the Kedusha goes from the Mos over to the object, and the object is now owned by Hegdesh. That's called Kedusha's Berek HaBayis. Paraduma is a very exceptional case, because although it has Kedushas Berek HaBayis, it's not purchased from the money of what's called Lishkas Berek HaBayis, or Trumas Lishka Berek HaBayis, but rather it's purchased from Trumas HaLishka. Now, Trumas HaLishka is the community chest from which money is taken to buy a carbon tzibur. A carbon tzibur is not owned neither by you, nor by me, nor by John, or anybody. It's owned by the tzibur. And so it comes out that in the very complex case of Paraduma, we have an overlap of two different halachic dinim, or statusi. On the one hand, I have to define and classify Paraduma as having the status of Kedushas Domin. But on the other hand, paradoxically, the Paraduma is purchased from money of the Trumas HaLishka, which means it doesn't... Trumas Berek HaBayis means it belongs to Hegdesh. In the case of something that's bought with Trumas HaLishka, those monies do not designate an object that's bought with those monies as ownership of Hegdesh, but rather as ownership of the entire tzibur, like that of a carbon tzibur. So in a certain sense, the Paraduma is not owned privately by Hegdesh. Hegdesh as a cartel, as a private company, but rather it's owned by the entire tzibur. Therefore, what the Rambam means when he says that logically there shouldn't have been any Me'ila in the case of Paraduma from the moment of Hakdosh and on, is because who owns the Paraduma? The tzibur owns the Paraduma. So there's no private ownership of Hegdesh in Paraduma. Otherwise, it would have been purchased from the Lishka Sperek HaBayis. Instead, it's purchased from Trumas HaLishka. Anything purchased from Trumas HaLishka belongs to the Tzibur as a Tzibur. So there's no private ownership in Paraduma. That was what bothered the Rambam. The Rambam said, how can it be Me'ila? When it comes to Berek HaBayis, Me'ila means stealing something that's owned by Hegdesh. But in the case of Paraduma, insofar as it's purchased by with the monies of the Trumas HaLishka, there's no private ownership of Hegdesh. So you can't call it stealing from Hegdesh. Hegdesh doesn't own the Paraduma. And if Me'ila means stealing from Hegdesh, that means Bishleim, if there's private ownership of Hegdesh, which is 99.9% to Berek HaBayis, Nicha, then I understand why there's Me'ila Berek HaBayis. But if I find you a case, and there's only one case under the sky, where it's Berek HaBayis, but it's Berek HaBayis that doesn't belong to Hegdesh. It's Berek HaBayis that belongs to the entire Tzibur as a Tzibur. And the proof of this, which is both a Mishnah in Shkolim and a Rambam in Hilchos Shkolim, that Paradum is purchased from Trumas HaLishka, which makes it owned by the Tzibur. If it's owned by the Tzibur, there's no Me'ila. Comes along the Rambam based on the Sugi Menachos and establishes there is Me'ila in Paradum from the moment it was of Hugdisha. And why? Because the Torah calls it a Chatos. The Torah is saying that just like in Kodshei HaGuf, which we call Kodshei Mizbeach, there is Me'ila, despite the fact that Hegdesh doesn't have any ownership rights to this Kodesh. In other words, I designate this animal as whatever Zevach you like, as a Chatos, an Asher, an Ola, whatever it might be, Shlomim. It doesn't belong to Hegdesh. Me'ikara Tura Deruven, Hashta Tura Deruven. But nevertheless, there's Me'ila. A whole different category of Me'ila. And that category of Me'ila is because it's Kodesh Lashem. Kodesh Lashem means it's designated for the Mizbeach. And to that extent, it has a special, unique kedusha which generates me'ila. In the case of Paraduma, you and I would have said it has the status of kedushas damim. And if it has kedushas damim, mimanafshach is no me'ila. They can't be me'ila b'taras kedushas damim because it's not mamon hegdish b'kinyano. It's purchased by mamon from the Trumas HaLishka. On the other hand, it doesn't have kedushas haguf, and therefore it's not kodesh lashem. And if it's not kodesh lashem, there is no me'ila b'taras kedushas mizbeach. Kamlings the Torah and says no. There's shechita, and with that shechita, it's the shechita of a karban chatos. And although we're not going to do the zrikas adam as we classically would do with a karban chatos, we'll do the shechita, we'll do hazas damim, and all that makes it into kedushas mizbeach. It gives it the status of kodesh lashem. But now we have a problem. The problem that we're about to learn now is called Avnei Achoma. And this you'll find on page Kuf Chaf Beis. And it's a sugya in take the whole pile because it's all Mishka Babel, so you'll find Kuf Chaf Beis in there. Okay. So when you get a hold of page Kuf Chaf Beis, look at the very last paragraph on the page.
One question, yeah. if I can just one more time, I was a lawyer, so I was some confusion. We're talking about the Trumas HaLishka. What's the other Lishka called?
It's called Lishka Sperek HaBayis.
And who owns that?
The Hegdesh owns that.
Is there such a concept of Hegdesh? Because now you said with the carbon, really, it still belongs to Reuven. Is there such a concept of ownership of Hegdesh?
Absolutely.
As opposed to ownership of Tzibur.
Right, I'm talking about private ownership of Hegdesh. Hegdesh is considered like a private person, and they have their own ownership. You may recall that Reb Chaim said there was a havamina, that a person who's working in someone's field, and if this case the field is owned by Hegdesh, he's allowed to eat from the field. The Gemara has a special pasuk. But if not for that special pasuk, he would be allowed to eat. And what happened to Nisar Hegdesh? And the answer is, it's Kedushas Berek HaBayis. And that kedusha depends on ownership. If the Torah gave the worker, the employee, rights to eat from whatever he's working on, that removes the ownership of Hegdesh. And therefore there's no Me'ila. And what's the shear, the minimum shear which you chayv Me'ila in the case of Kodshei Berek HaBayis? Pruta. Where do we find in Hilchos Macholos Asuras, anywhere in the face of the constellation of the universe, of the halakhic universe, Shavu Pruta? Shavu Pruta is only in Zela. Rav Moshe here in this piece says that the two kedushas here, kedushas perek habayis on the one hand, kedushas mizbeach or kedushas guf, you want to call it that, on the other hand, generate two fundamentally different entities of me'ilah. The me'ilah of kedushas perek habayis is because you are putting your hand into the pocket of hegdesh. In the case of kedushas mizbeach, Hegdesh has no ownership rights over the kodesh. Very nice, I took Elsie the cow and I made her into a korban chatos, korban ola, whatever it was. Hegdesh has no rights over it. Whole different concept of me'ilah. Here me'ilah is based on the pasuk kodesh l'Hashem. Kodesh l'Hashem means you designated it, you still own it, but you designated it for Hashem. And it belongs to Hashem in that sense. Not again, not in Hilchas Choshev Mishpat, like a lawyer like you said before, but in Hilchas Me'ilah. Me'ilah means you're taking something that's totally, singularly given over and designated for Hashem, for a korban. The case of Paraduma, says Rav Moshe, is absolutely complex. On the one hand, the Kedusha is that of Erek Habayis. As such, for sure, this should be Me'ilah. And the Rambam says, Afal Bishu Kodesh B'Kedusha is Erek Habayis, meaning that as Erek Habayis, there is no Me'ilah. And Rav Moshe is trying to understand why. On the other hand, to say that there's me'ilah in Paraduma because of its status as Kedushas Mizbeach, that's not true. It can't be true because there is no Kedushas Mizbeach. At the end of the day, what are we going to do with this para? We'll take it out Chutz L'Machna and it's going to go up in smoke. So Moshe develops the following thesis. Yes, I grant you that Paraduma has the status of Kodshei Berek HaBayis, but in this case, it's not owned by Hegdesh, but it's owned by the entire tzibur. How can you tell me that it's Berek HaBayis and it's owned by the entire tzibur? Says Rav Moshe, I'll prove it to you. The Mishnah Shkolim and the Ram Paskins, the Mishnah, requires that how do we purchase a paraduma? We dig our hands into which community chest? Not the Lishkas Berek HaBayis, but rather to the Lishkas HaTruma, the Trumas HaLishka. Trumas HaLishka, by definition, is the moment of the tzibur. Any carbon tzibur is purchased from Trumas HaLishka. Therefore, Paraduma, says the Rambam, should not generate Me'ilah, despite the fact that it's Kedushas Berek HaBayis, but it's a different kind of Berek HaBayis. The Berek HaBayis with the bailus of the tzibur. As such, you're not stealing from anybody. And you can't be Chayiv Me'ilah, says the Rambam. But it has a little bit of a status of Kedushas HaGuf. We'll call it a mikzas kedushas haguf. Why? It's kodesh l'Hashem. Hashem says this is like a korban chatos. You're going to shecht it. You can do azos hadamim. You're going to burn it outside the machne, and it belongs to that mitzvah of paraduma. If it belongs to the mitzvah of paraduma, then that's going to generate a whole new category of me'ilah. Now here, Rav Moshe doesn't say this, so I might be in deep trouble for saying this. I don't know. I don't know if he would smile or he would tell me, Berzon, get out of here. I would say the shear of Me'ilah in Paraduma is not Shava Pruta. Because again, Shava Pruta is uniquely related to stealing from Mom and Hegdesh. Here we're saying it doesn't belong to Hegdesh. We're saying that it's Me'ilah B'Torah Schatas, B'Torah Kodesh Mizbeach, B'Torah Kodesh L'Hashem. Oh, if it's Halacha Kodesh L'Hashem, then we have different shiurim. Then maybe it's Kizayis or whatever it might be. Yeah, David.
Just so I understand it, does me'ilah occur if someone steals this paraduma?
Uses it, I would say. I don't know if he has to steal it, but again, he has to use it in a way that it's very specific here. You know, when I use it, I have to use it in a derech kinyan. Mm-hmm. In other words, let's say, for example, a person is working in the Kodesh Kadosh. You know, from time to time, they have to fix up the Kodesh Kadosh. Kodesh Kadosh was stunning. And he's enjoying the benefit of, wow, of Kodesh Kadosh. So that's called Kol Marav Areach Embo Mishum Me'ilah. Which means that Me'ilah is only when you do a Maisek Zela. So for example, if I pick something up, or in the case of a heavy animal, I can't pick it up, but I ride it. Let's say I ride a Behemoth Kodesh, Chas V'Shalom, like a horse. I don't mean it's a horse, but I'm saying like I would ride a horse. That would constitute Me'ilah. And in Hilchas Kinyonim, here you have to learn about Betziah, Perek Aleph, riding a horse would probably be a Kinyon if you wanted to give me your horse. So I don't know if I answered your question.
Well, in the case of the power of doom, it's such a rare thing, but would anybody actually use it for the wrong purpose? It happens.
I don't know. It's very hard to believe. Such a guy should be shot, he should be tarred and feathered. I mean... to take the paraduma, we had only 8 or 9 throughout Jewish history, yeah. And he takes the paraduma and he rides it like a horse, and again he passes the karma, he passes the paraduma, says Asher lo aleha ol. So he's a chutz min yak. But the question is he in violation of Me'ilah? And the answer is, says the Rambam, yes, because the Torah calls it a chatas. And here Moshe has a problem. Why? Because of a sugya in Masechta Kiddushin called Avnei Yerushalayim or Avnei Chomas Yerushalayim. Now the wall around Yerushalayim today, Rabosai, is not what we're talking about. I forgot the name of, what was his name about 8 centuries ago that he made that wall? Sultan, what was his name? Soleimani, whatever his name was. I think he was a Turk.
Suleiman.
Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Chomas Yerushalayim and the stones that were used as part of this choma that designated the Kedusha, the radius of the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Oh. Now, these stones were purchased from the Trumas HaLishka. And yet there's Me'ilah. Are you with me on this? This is going to be a major blow-up for Moshe. And he's aware of it. And he calls it a stira. Do you see this online? We're in the paragraph that says El Adi Yisod. And if you drop down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines, he says stira al zeh, meaning I found a contradiction to everything I said. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the Gemara establishes in Kedusha Daf Nun Dalid that the stones for the Chom of Yerushalayim were purchased from Shiori Alishka. Okay, now again, for this we'd have to learn Masechta Shkom to know the difference between Trumas Alishka and Shiori Alishka. You have to know about Chodesh Adar, a lot of different elements. But for our purposes, Shiori Alishka has the same status as Trumas Alishka. It's just that there's a certain priority system as to what, you know, the money that's earmarked for Berek HaBayis has to be used in a certain priority. You know, it's like Lahavdil, if you were Mafish Meiser Ksofim, so you want to write a check, you know, for let's say you have an income of 1,000, you want to write a check for 100. So there are all sorts of laws that determine how you give out the money. You know, you can't just decide for yourself, well, you know, this kollel needs some help, I'm gonna give it for Achnasas kollel. There's a whole seder. So, for example, if your father would need that money and your cousin would need that money, the Torah is going to set up a law of priority. In Trumas HaLishka, there are all sorts of priorities. But it doesn't matter. Shiori HaLishka is also Mamon HaTzibur that's owned by the entire Tzibur. No one has private ownership over anything that's purchased neither from Trumas HaLishka nor Shiori Trumas HaLishka. And if the Avnei Chomas Yerushalayim are purchased, as the Gemara establishes in Kedushin and Dalit by Trumas HaLishka, then what would be the conclusion as far as Me'ilah according to Rav Moshe? Ain't Mon Me'ilah. It can't be Me'ilah. Why? Because it doesn't have Kedushas Mizbeach, that's for sure. It's only a stone. It doesn't have private ownership like every other classical Berek HaBayis though, so it can't be Me'ilah of Berek HaBayis, because anything that's purchased from Trumas HaLishka by definition belongs to the Tzibur. That's what Moshe's whole thesis here about why the Rambam thinks that there shouldn't be any Me'ilah in Paradua, because it's purchased from monies of Trumas HaLishka. He says the Avnei Yerushalayim Shen Nashru. Okay, the case is the following. You see, if a person sits on the wall of Yerushalayim, that's not really called Me'ilah. Why? Because he doesn't take anything for himself. He's just sitting on it. So the whole nafkamina about Me'ilah and Avnei Yerushalayim is when it gets loose and it falls off the choma. And again, what we have to study, but it's not for us today, is if it got loose and it fell out of the choma, why does it still maintain its status as Chomas Yerushalayim? So that you have to know more more about Kodesh Berek Habayis and when Kodesh Berek Habayis, if it no longer can be used, if the Kiddush is Paka and so forth and so on. But in any event, the Gemara establishes that Avnei Yerushalayim Shed Nashru, what does Shed Nashru mean? They fell out of the Choma, Mal in Bohem. Again, that's not according to everybody. Not everyone says this Me'ila. But there's one man the who says Ma'alim b'shiyari al-lishka, that even if it was purchased from Shiyari al-lishka, there's still Me'ila. Ulechora, ma'adid shal kodshe Hashem ika b'chomis Yerushalayim. He's almost asking a laughable question. You can't talk about Kodshei Lashem. You know, every time when you talk about Kodshei Mizbeach, it's called Kodesh Lashem because it goes on the Mizbeach. You're not going to take a stone from Yerushalayim and be Machtir Al Gabi Mizbeach. So therefore, by definition, it cannot be classified as Kedushas Mizbeach. Narvas, the only possibility is to say that that's Kedushas Domin. But Kedushas Domin, in the case of something that's purchased from the Lechumas Al Lishka, belongs to whom? The Tzibur.
Oh, we say this Me'ila Doraisa?
And it's Me'ila Doraisa. I think he's going to point that out a little bit later. Excellent point. He says, Zev Adli, the Chol Advar, my boy, Mitrumas Alishka, O Shiori Alishka, Ika Layu Din Bailim Shal Tzibur. He says, even though it's Kedushas, Kedushas Berek HaBayis, it still has the Bailus of the Tzibur. There's no private ownership of Hegdesh because it was purchased from Trumas Alishka. And the Brahman Paskins, and now we're going on to page Kuf Chaf Gimel if you're looking inside, in Hilchos Shkolim, that if the Heichal and the Azoros come from Shiori Alishka, they belong to the Tzibur. It's not what you'd call classical ownership of Berek HaBayis, which is Momen HaKegdesh B'Kinyonam. And he has a beautiful Raya, this I get very excited about, from a Rambam in the 7th parak of Nedarim, and this is like from left field. How does he quote this as a raya? Beautiful. The Gemara says the following, and the Rambam paskins it in Hilchos Nedarim. We have something called Mudar Hanoh Michavera, which means that I can take upon myself a neder that I won't have any benefit from you or any of your possessions or one of your possessions, whatever the case might be. And now we have a case where two people, I guess, are at loggerheads. So each one takes a neder mudra from the other one. So we have like a reciprocal kind of mudra anof. And the Rambam paskins that in a case of shutfus, let's say, for example, I'm a mudra anof from you, David, and you and John own something as in partnership. I can't have any benefit from that because you are the private owner together with John on this object. So shutfus will not undermine your private ownership, nor my neder of mudra anof. But the Rambam writes that's only in case of shutfim. But if you have shutfus shall call Yisrael, then I'm not mudra anof. And the Rambam's example, when he wants to illustrate this, of Shutfus Shel Klal Yisrael, is Kigon Harabayis, Halashokos Vazoros. This is really interesting. There are things that are owned by the public ownership. For example, you know that in certain cities, they have a public well with access, water access for anyone who comes by. And by the way, it's not limited to the members of the city. That's called public ownership. There's public ownership over Harabayis, over the Lashokos, over the Azoros. Then the Rambam says there's something called Shutfus Vanshei Ha'ir. And again, I think I discussed this with you when we were learning the Rogachava back when. That the Rogachava said there are two types of bailus. There's bailus of Shutfim or bailus of the city to the exclusion of everyone else. And that has the same status as bailus Yochid, as if it was privately owned. And then there's something called bailus HaTzibur, which is owned by everybody. You know, my Rebbe was opposed to the Heter Mechira. That's one of the reasons probably he never took the job of chief rabbi here, even though they wanted him desperately at some point. Because he didn't believe that you could sell Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Momen HaTzibur. And Momen HaTzibur means that even if you'd get every last Jew alive in any moment in history, I don't know how many Jews are there today, about 18 million? I don't know how many there are. I mean, it probably depends who you ask. Right? He asked the pro-Jewish or the whatever. Yeah. The anti-Semites will jack up the numbers. Who is a Jew? Right. Who is a Jew? Right. So in any event, even if you get every last Jew on the face of the earth alive simultaneously at this particular moment in time to sign a shtar mechira on Eretz Yisrael, it's invalid. There's no way that you could sell Eretz Yisrael. It's Momen HaTzibur. And the same thing applies to the Azara, to the Lushakos, to the Harabayis. All these places are owned by the Tzibur. And therefore there's no Mudar Anah. I'm not getting Anah from you. I'm getting Anah from the Tzibur. So Mudra Anah applies to an Isra Neder for private ownership, but if it's not private ownership, there's no Isra Anah. Hare de Pasak, Hocha, Hadin de Dvarv Shem Shalanchi Ha'ir, Kisha Osar, Hanah Me'echid Mibnei Ha'ir, Osul Lehenos Mihem. So if I take a Neder that I won't benefit from any member of this city, then I'm not allowed, I'm enjoined from benefiting from something that's owned by the city. City owned, right? Which means that every member of the city, I don't know how he becomes a member of the city, I guess he pays taxes, so he's been living there for a minimum of 30 days, or maybe 12 months, whatever it might be. He has private ownership, b'torah shutvim, on the entire be'er shel mayim that's owned by the city. However, dvarm shel heim shel kol Yisrael, michalos din tzibur, lo mikri shutvim. By the way, John, are you familiar with the Rav Zalat Shuvah? John? Ooh. A little bit? Anyway, he has a whole piece there about the Kapar of Yom HaKippurim, and he goes off on a tangent. He claims that the two Mechapar of Yom HaKippurim, one is Kapar Sayoch, one is Kapar Satzibur. And in that context, he goes off on a whole long discussion about the difference between a carbon of Shutfim and a carbon of the Tzibur, of a carbon Tzibur. And this is exactly what we're saying here. So in something that's owned by the entire Tzibur, there would be no Isur HaNoh, because this is not Shutfis. And Isur HaNoh and Mudra HaNoh is only from Bailim. Again, Shutfim is Bailim. It's Bailus HaYochid. There may be many Yechidim, but and there could be a million Yechidim. It's irrelevant what the number is. But it's still owned by Yochid, and it generates an Isur Mudra HaNoh. But not so in the case of something that's owned by the Tzibur. And the Rambam includes in his illustrations where there is no Iser of Mudra HaNoh, Lushakos, Azoros, Harabayis, because all of these are built with which money? Trumas HaLishka. And it's built with Trumas HaLishka, there's no private ownership, belongs to the entire Tzibur. By the way, when was the first collection in history for Trumas HaTzibur? Well, I don't know, maybe I don't know about the Mishkan. Yeah, that was probably communally owned. But in a more, you know, if you fast forward, who would be the one who collected money, do you know, that belongs to the entire Tzibur? It was David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech purchased the land for the Beis HaMikdash. And he collected from each one of the Shvatim, and each one of the Shvatim represented the entire Tzibur, so that the money would belong, and therefore the Makom HaMikdash would belong to the entire Tzibur. Now again, you'll ask me a kasha. The Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash is in the Chelek of Binyamin. So now you get the impression that it doesn't belong to all the Shvatim, it belongs to one Shevet. Okay. Anyway, Harei LeHedra, please underline this, because this is the sum total of everything he's been saying now. Dehem shel tzibur v'lo momen kekdesh b'kinyono. You cannot say that momen tzibur's belong to anybody, not even to Hedesh. So even if it's Shutfis of Kol Yisrael, that's Shutfim, unless the Shutfis of Kol Yisrael goes beyond Shutfis into the entire new enterprise, new entity, which is called Tzibur. And in the case of Tzibur, there's no Momen Hegdish B'Kinyana. And if that be the case, anything that's purchased with the money of Tzibur could not be subject to Me'ila, because Me'ila in Berek HaBayis means stealing from Momen Hegdish. Uve Cholzos, Mishum Sharama Pasik Diboy Mishori Alishka Velo Milishka Sperika Bayas. All the above, like the Lashakos and the Azoros and the Harabayas, they are all purchased with what's called Shiori Alishka, which has the same status as Trumas Alishka, not from Lishka Sperika Bayas. Al Kain, oh, see again, you should press the return button. This is where Rav Moshe comes up with a new perspective on Avnei Chomas Yerushalayim. Why is there Me'ilah? After all, it's purchased with Mamonat Tzibur. There is no Bailos HaYochim. Nireh. Didin Me'ilasam Be'emes Uvidin Kodshei Hashem. Now wait a second. Kodshei Hashem, we thought, means Kodesh LaMizbeach. You can't take the Evan on the Mizbeach. He says the following. Mishum Kedushas Berek HaBayis. He says the following, that Kedushas Berek HaBayis really hides or conceals a second Kedusha. The first Kedusha is insofar it's Mavana Hegdish. Right? Lashem Ha'aretz U'Meloah. A table of Yoshua belongs to Hegdish. But he says, Lorak Mavana Hegdish B'Kinyonam Nemar Bahem. But there's another dimension to Berek HaBayis. Ki Im Gam Din Shal Chalos Kedusha L'Mitzvaso. I would underline those words. When you say something is Kodesh Lashem, it's designated for Hashem, not exclusively dedicated Lashem on the Mizbeach, but if it's designated Hashem that I have to do a mitzvah with this object, that gives it the status of Kodesh Lashem. And that he calls Kedushas Mitzvaso. How does he know such a thing? I mean, this is pretty radical.
Could this be linked to the nafkim between Tashmishe Kedusha and Mitzvah Kedusha?
Interesting. You mean, if it's, let's say, if it's something that's only Meshamesh Adobash in the Mitzvah. Now, let's see his proof. The Rama Paskins in Hilchas Tmura, that there's a lav called Eim Meshana Mikdusha LeKedusha. Now watch this. Let's say you have a carbon shlomo, and now you want to designate it as a carbon ola, or vice versa, whatever it is. You violate a law. Now what happens if you have Kedushas Berek HaBayis, and it's designated for one specific purpose, and now you decide to use it for a different purpose? Do you violate the law? So the Ravid will soon see holds that this din of Meshanin Mikdusha LeKedusha only applies for Kedushas HaGuf, for Kedushas Mizbeach. But the Rambam says that the law of Ein Meshana Mikdusha LeKedusha, Ika means it applies, Bein B'Kedushas Mizbeach, Bein B'Kedushas Berek HaBayis, Kigon, Higdish Mitchila LeBerek HaZara. He donated, contributed a certain amount of money to fix up the Azara, and now he wants to use those monies, what's it called, to divert them? Is that a good word? To divert them for the purpose of the Heichal. Now we're both saying, which has greater Kedusha, the Azor or the Heichal? The Heichal. But nevertheless, the Rambam says he violates the law. Because Higdish Mitchil Leberek Azor, in Meshana, and then he goes ahead and he says, no, I want to designate this for the Heichal, is over Balav. So again, it doesn't matter whether it's Namuch or, what's the other word? Oh, Gavah, right? In the Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim. It's irrelevant. It's always going to be a Shinui B'Kedusha, and we're talking about Berek HaBayis over here. The Rambam explicitly is talking about Berek HaBayis. There was money that was earmarked to build and fix the Azara. Now he wants to earmark it for the Heichal. He violates the law. So Rav Moshe asks, what is this law? I mean, what does it come from? What's the nature of the definition of this law? And the answer is that when you designate something as Berek HaBayis, it's not just Berek HaBayis, it's a mitzvah within Berek HaBayis. And you earmark it specifically for a mitzvah. Again, you don't have to do so. You can contribute it for Berek HaBayis and say, you know, let the Gizbar decide what he needs. You know, he needs a carpenter here or a plumber here, he'll decide. But if you earmark it for the Azara, you know, they made an appeal in Shul for the Azara, and he raises his hand, he wants to donate 1,000. Going once, going twice, sold for 1,000. So he gets his name on the Azara. Like in Kfar Nachum, remember that example I always gave you, right? From 1600 years ago, you still have the name of the donor. After 16 centuries, the rest of the shul is gone, except for some mosaic tiles that the archaeologists dug up. But the name of the donor is still there.
This is sort of the movie Top of there's a forest that kept changing names.
Yeah, what was the name of that?
Shalom Shabbati or something?
Yeah, no, that was the person, Sal Shabbati, but Sal Shabbati.
Yeah,
yeah. I forgot the name of it. Yeah, the caricature was so they kept moving the sign around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So this man was magnish for the Azara. Okay, you were Zocha in the mitzvah of Tikkun Azara. Now he says, you know what? No. I changed my mind. I want to earmark this money for the Heichal. You know, imagine getting my name up on the Heichal. That's really Holy of Holies, right? So he violates the law. Why? Because in Beit HaBayis, there's a halach of HaKadosha L'mitzvoso. And in this case, he was magdish for the mitzvah of the Azora. Now he wants to be mishaneh for the Heichal. That's called a shinu in the mitzvoso.
Pagam on the first mitzvah.
What's
the yisurin?
It's a pagam. I think in the domim themselves. You know, the domim now take on the mitzvaso of azor. Now he wants to change it and make those domim into dmei tikkun haheichal. The Raiva disagrees. Says Rav Moshe, why does the Raiva disagree? The answer is he holds the Raiva. There's no such thing as chiluke kedushos with regard to Berak Habayis. Berak Habayis means you designate it for Berak Habayis. The rest of the story is out of your hands. The Gizbar will decide how he wants to earmark and use that money. Where do we find, says the Ravid, a violation of this law of Shinu Kodesh? Only in Kedushas Mizbeach. Because in Kedushas Mizbeach, the Torah gave you the authority or the power to designate it as a specific Kodesh, a specific Zevach, a Chatos, an Ola, and Asha. But in principle, the Ravid agrees that if Lu Yitzur there was Shinui Kedusha, if there was Shinui Kedushos, or Chilu Kedushos, we'll use that term, in Berak Habayis, then you would be violating the law. Al Kain, Shapir Moalim the Avne Hechol Vazoros Vyushalayim. Why? Because we've already established that there's Aloch in Berak Habayis of Kodshei Hashem. Kodshei Hashem not for the sake of the Mizbeach, but Kodshei Hashem for the sake of the mitzvah, or whatever that mitzvah would be, whether it's Avnei Heichal, Avnei Azorah, Avnei Yerushalayim, all these different stones. V'din Kodshei Hashem shel Me'ilah lo nemar dafka v'kodshei Mizbeach. We think that the halacha of Me'ilah exhausts itself in Kodshei Mizbeach. No, it goes beyond Kodshei Mizbeach. You can have something that's Kodshei Berak Habayis and there'll be Me'ilah. Not only Me'ilah because you're stealing from Hegdesh, but Me'ilah because it has a L'mitzvaso to it. Again, at least according to the Rambam, Shitu says that the Chiluke Kedushos in Berak Habayis. Kol Echad, Chalos Mitzvaso, Havi Midin Kodshei Hashem Shalom. So when you say Kodshei Hashem for the Heichal, it's Kodshei Hashem for the Heichal. If it's Kodshei Hashem for the Azora, it's Kodshei Hashem for the Azora, etc., etc. So that in the case of Kodshei Mizbeach, we have L'mitzvah over the Mizbeach. In the case of Kodshei Berak Habayis, we also have L'mitzvah, whether it's for the mitzvah of the Azora, for the mitzvah of the Heichal, etc. Oh, now we can go back to the Rambam. And with this, we'll finish up. V'shapir nish'orim dvareinu mashkasam l'b'das ha'rama. D'pora aduma, afal gav v'kedushos, v'kedushos Berak Habayis, and it's owned, well, let's start again, it's purchased by Trumas HaLishka, owned by the entire Tzibur, and therefore it should be mufka completely from Me'ilah. There's no mama in Hegdish Bekinyano. But nevertheless, it has a shame of Kodesh Lashem. Why? Because the Torah calls it a chatos, and the Torah is telling you that it's designated for that mitzvah as a paraduma. Mitzvasa l'mashehi kedosha. In other words, there's a special cutout, specific kedusha and mitzvah. And therefore, din kodshei Hashem shalom, because it's like a chatos, it has akrov, not exactly the classical akrov, but it has hazor. And therefore, it has a din of me'ilah. So just to summarize, paradum on the one hand would not have me'ilah v'toris Berak Habayis, but it has the me'ilah that we saw in the Avnei Heichal, the Avnei Azorah, the Avnei Yerushalayim of kadosh l'mitzvaso. And kadosh l'mitzvaso, if it's designated for a certain mitzvah, it takes on a whole new status. It's not this general patpor he called Berak Habayis. And once it's designated with a kedusha l'mitzvaso, then it has the din of Kodesh Lashem, and it's no different than Kodesh Mizbeach. And again, we're not talking about Me'ilah B'Toras, B'Toras Gzela, because again, who owns this Paraduma? It's not Hegdish, it's not Momen Hegdish B'Kinyano, but rather the Tzibur owns it, but it's a Me'ilah of Kodesh, meaning of Kiddushas Mitzvah, because it's designated for that mitzvah. So again, just one last question, David, then the floor is yours. What would you say in a case of a carbon tzibur? Would a carbon tzibur be lend itself to Me'ilah?
Yeah.
For sure. You'll ask me, there's no Bailus. The answer is, this is not the Me'ilah of Bailus, of Gzela. This is the Me'ilah of Kodesh Lashem. Yeah, David.
What's the mitzvah involved in the wall around Yerushalayim, a loose stone, and it's a civic project, building a wall around the city. What's the
Kedusha? Right. But the wall around Yerushalayim sets up the Kedusha of Yerushalayim for the following: for Achilas Kodshei, what's it called? Kodshim Kalim, and Maiser Sheni, and Meteravai. In the case of Maaser Sheni, it's a double Kedusha. It's a Kedushas Mitzvah and a Kedushas Isur, because you're not allowed to eat the Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. In the case of Kodshim Kalim, if you take the Kodshim Kalim outside the Chomos Yerushalayim, then it becomes Yotze and it's possible. On the other hand, there's a flip side, and that's the Mitzvah Achilas Kodshim Kalim. That has to take place inside the Chomos of Yerushalayim. In the case of Maaser Sheni, the Maaser Sheni has to be eaten inside the Chomos of Yerushalayim. So what generates that Kedushas Yerushalayim, and specifically, what's the word I want to use, encircles it, to define its boundaries, there should be a word for that. Anyway, that's going to be the Avni Yerushalayim. So the Avni Yerushalayim serve a purpose of being Makadish Yerushalayim. In the case of the Azorah, the Avni Azorah will be Makadish the Azorah. And the Gemara is going to have many, many Chakiris about this. Let's say one of the Avonim falls out. Does it still maintain its Kedusha? Or, for example, what happens if a person could situate himself between one stone and the other? Let's say there would be a little bit of space. So can he do the shechita of Kodshei Kodshim? Can he eat the Basar Kodesh in Kodshei Kodshim? And all this is because the walls that surround the Azara, which are called Klai Achatz in the Mishkan, or Chomos Azara in the Migdash, they sanctify the area that's circumscribed therein. And Moshel of Adover Dom, again, don't compare it, it's like a sukkah. When you surround the sukkah with Tefanos, and I know you can ask me kashas about that because you don't need four Tefanos, but let's say you did need four Tefanos, just theoretically, then what it does is it sets up the Mokom HaMukaf Mechitzos as having Kedusha Sukkah. And the Kedusha of Sukkah is kind of a Kedusha L'mitzvasa. So now I want to use the Sukkah for my own purposes, and I have a problem of Chil Kedusha HaSukkah. And the Gemara derives this halacha from Chagiga in Sukkah Daf Tes, I think it is. Again, it's basic machlokas. We showed him, does this Iser apply only to the Schach? Does it apply to the Tefanos? You know, you could have a real blast about this. So Rabosa, if there are no more questions, I'd love to learn with you the next piece. Yeah, go ahead, John. Did you want to ask something? So again,
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
As time goes on now, the city is bigger and the wall is down. Is there still Kedusha in Yerushalayim?
That's an excellent question. So just one second. It's interesting. Here's the difference between what's called Batei Ari Choma. When we talk about a Choma, which is walls that surround the city, there are many different dimensions to that topic, to that sugya. One is what's called Ir Mukefes Choma. Have you ever heard of it? It's at the end of Sefer Vayikra. In Parshas Bahar, I believe. Or is it in B'chukos? No, I think it's in Bahar. So, for example, if I sell you a piece of property in an Ir Mukefes Choma, then I have rights to get back that real estate. And yeah, I have to pay you for that. I'm not going to get it gratis. And that's called the right of redeeming Karka or Bayis be Ir Mukefes Choma. So an Ir Mukefes Choma, it's fascinating, has a special Kedusha with its own dinim, only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutzlamitz. So there I think it says Asher Lo Choma. When the Torah describes the city, it says Asher Lo Choma. How do you, when you talk about the city having a Choma, how would you write the word Lo? With an Aleph or with a Vav?
Vav.
With a Vav. And the Torah says it with an Aleph. So Chazal derive the conclusion that even if Lo Choma, it doesn't have a Choma, but it once had a Choma, it still maintains its Kedusha. So I'll give you a wild example of this. When do you read the Megillah in Tveria? Hey, you know, you think I'm nuts. Well, Tveria was a walled city. It doesn't have that same wall anymore, but it might still have the status of a walled city because of this Pasuk Asher Lo Choma. Again, you have to know more about Batei Ari Choma. I'm just throwing something out. So you're asking what happens if the Choma was Makadish the year and then it fell. Does it still maintain that same status? And that's the sugya and erechin about Batei Ari Choma.
And in our time today, do we think that Yerushalayim has a status that, unlike Tel Aviv, it's more...
Yes, because I think we paskin as far as Kedushas Yerushalayim. I have to double check it. I'm not holding in the sugya right now. You have to open up the Rambam Hilchos Beis Bechira. Kidshel Shait VeKidshel Asid Lava. That Kedushas Yerushalayim continues. So, for example, if we had Maisa Sheni today, you could eat Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. However, you have to know more about the boundaries of Yerushalayim. Also, you have to know about Kedusha, you know, Tara, and so forth and so on. So that's why in Jersey they found this Paraduma. I don't know if you heard about it. I don't know what ever happened to it. You never saw it? They have pictures of it on the internet. Now I think they found another one in South Carolina.
New Jersey.
Did you ever hear of New Jersey?
Yeah.
I was just joking. Right. So maybe you didn't feel the kedusha of the paraduma, but somebody has a paraduma.
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, let's just spend how many minutes? We have 10 minutes just to get in the next piece. It's a short piece. Okay. Now this piece is beautiful for its kasha, but very weak on its teretz because Rav Moshe couldn't come up with an answer to this question, and he leaves it b'tzarech iyun. So I was hoping maybe we would come up with an answer, but he couldn't answer this problem. So let me open the Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilah. You have it here in the Sefer Perek Beis Halacha Vav. Again, we just finished Perek Beis Halacha Hey. Now we're really making progress with Perek Beis Halacha Vav. And the Rambam says the following: that Chatos v'Osham is molin b'kula misha higdishu hukdishu ad sheyizrak asadam. So it means like this: Chatos and Osham are eaten. Certain parts of the boss are eaten to zichrei kuhuna. At what point does the basar become mutar lachila lekarnim? Zrika. So Rambam says that up until zrika there's me'ila, after zrika there's no me'ila. So that's called mishahuktishu ad sheyizrak adam. Then the Rambam says nizrak adam molin b'imureihem, because the emurim have to be brought on the mizbeach. Ad sheyetzu lebeis hadeshen. Okay, there's another halacha here of beis hadeshen. And that would mean that if the Imurim were burnt on the Mizbeach, now they, you know, whatever is left over, you bring it out to the Beis Hadeshen, there's a Mitzvah Trumas Hadeshen, and there is no Me'ilah. Aval Ein Molin B'Basar, because again, he did the Zrika, that's going to remove Me'ilah as far as the Basar is concerned. Then he writes, and he should follow in Rav Moshe, V'chein Chatos Ha'Ov. Now again, Chatos Ha'Ov has the same, propensity or categorization as chatas behem, because part of the oaf is eaten by the kohen. Right. So therefore, molin ba mishahuktishu ad sheyazed dama. So again, there's no haktaras hadamim, haktaras habasar, but there's hazoyas hadam, or maybe mitzvah hadam, whatever it might be. Who's a dama? Ein ba me'ilah. Then the Rambam adds a very strange statement. He says, "Havol osu lihenos b'morasa v'notzasa." I forgot what moros is in English.
Some strange word. The crop.
The crop, right? The crop. The zefek, I think. Right, and the notza is the feathers. And he says that there's an isra anah in morasa and notzasa. But again, what's he talking about? He's talking about a chatas ha'ov. Now, a chatas ha'ov is subject to a matir called hazoya, and the Rambam himself writes it in the same sentence.
What happens to the maran? It's also,
and the Rambam says it's also about no. You got to throw it out.
What normally happens then? They don't go to mizbeach. Where do they go?
If not for the Rambam, I would say, you know, take it home and make an Indian chief hat from what's it called? You know. But the Rambam says that it's also, and you're not allowed to benefit from it. So Rav Moshe says, Tzorach Iyur. He says, this din, that you're not allowed to benefit from Morasa or Notzasa, who rak be Ola Sa'of, because Ola Sa'of is Kule Kolam, is Beth, there's no matter of Hazoya Sadam. And therefore, Dino, what do you do with an Ola Sa'of? Hashlocha Lemokom Adeshen. Ah, Bozenemar, Hadin, Dinisheris, Asur, Barno. Until you put it out into the deshem, then it's also by no mashenke b'chatasov morasa v'notzasa shalani tar b'zrika kimoa basar. Now, when we say that zrika is mati the basar in the case of chatasov, that means even as far as hana is concerned, the zrika removes the isur me'ila and the isur hana. So, how could the Rambam be talking about chatasov and saying that there's an Isar Hanah in Morasa Monotzasa until it goes out into the Beis HaDeshem, meaning even after the Hazoya, and the Rambam says also Hanah Afilu Liachar Hazoya. How can the Rambam say it's also Hanah Liachar Hazoya? I'm tempted to think that there's some mistake here in the Rambam. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to research. If somebody has a minute, you know, take a look here on the side or in the back. There's shinui nuskos. Or anyway, he says, "Mashenki bechatas ha'ov, demora'ov and otzasa shalom nitarim bezrika kamo basar bevadim utarim heim ba'ano liachar azoya." Vehine le'inyan me'ila hare mefurish sham barambam debazoya sadam yotzim de me'ila. Right, the Rambam himself admits that in the case of chatas ha'ov after Hazoya, there is no Me'ila. But the Rambam still insists that there's an Isra Anah on Notzasa Morasa. But I don't get it. If the Hazoya Hadam is enough to be Matir the Basar, and it removes any trace of Me'ila, why shouldn't it be Matir the Morah and the Notzasa? V'hinei b'tosefta the Me'ila Mefurosh. It says explicitly, Morah and Notzasa shal Ola Sa'of Molimba. Again, because in Ola Sa'of is no Zrika to be matir. Asher takes the base adesha. So why does the Tosefta mention Ola Sa'ov? Exactly, Apirish Pasha. Tivem is cholik was a chatos of me Ola Sa'ov. Tivem chatos of yitzi asan shel morav and otzos midei me'ilu hi al yidei het zrika k'mo abasar. Which again is against the... Then I'm saying, well, I mean, that's not the case the Rambam is addressing, but that's Pashut. Im came by Zoyas Doma, Yotsumi de Me'ila, Kamo Abbas, Mashenki Bola Sa'of. Right, I'm sorry, that's against the Rambam, I meant to say, right? Because we've just concluded, based on the language of the Tosefta Me'ila, that as far as Chata Sa'of is concerned, then there's no Me'ila with Hazoya. And the Rambam says that it's still Asur Ba'ano, even after Hazoya, although he himself admits there's no Me'ila. Then came by Zoyas Doma, Yotsuvi de Me'ila, Kamar Bosom, Ashenkin Oaf, Ola Sa'ov, Shein Bahet Zrika Klal, Afila Al Mora'ah, Vahout Venot Sasa, is Yitziyosim de Me'ila, Enem Mishum, Dea Mitzui Mati, because the Mitzui, which is the Zrika Sadam in Ola Sa'ov, is not a Mati. Elmi Dinasis Mitzvasa. And when does Nasa Mitzvah set in? That's only after you put it into the Beis HaDeshe. But the Rambam says that there's an Isur in the Morah, the Notzos of a Chatos of, even after Azoya. Why is it so? Ubazen Nemar Hadin, the Nishar Isur Adna, in other words, until it's taken out to the Beis HaDeshen. Again, this is in the case of Olas Ha'ov. There's still an Isra Ano. Masha'en ki Chatas Ha'ov, there the din of Hashloch Lebeis HaDeshen is a different din, as the Torah's Konim says on the Pasuk V'shlich Osa, Osa V'lo Chatas Ha'ov. V'yinotlin Osan Misham V'nitarim Bezrika Hein Kemo Habasar. He's talking about Chatasov.
Yeah.
He's saying that when it says Osa, which means that you're allowed to benefit from it, that's referring to just one second, I'm sorry. The Hishlich Osa, which means that only after you place it into the Beis HaDesh, and only then you're allowed to benefit from it, which is called Nasis Mitzvah. So that's a reference to Olas Ha'ov. But in the pasuk it says V'shlich Osa, that Hashloch LeBeis HaDesh is Matir It. It is a meal to exclude Chat Osof, as I state in Torah's Kohanim. V'ayinotlin Osa Misham V'nitarim Bezrika Hen Kebo Abosar. Meaning any part of the Chatas Ha'of was now permitted just the way Zrika's Mati the Basar. Ulechara lomalo ye mutarm gambo na. In other words, if you're saying that the Zrika's Matir, it should be Matir everything. Not just Me'ila, but it should be Matir Ana as well. The Enamavur, Bishum Makom, he says, I looked for some source for the Rama, the Marasam and Otsasa shall Chatas Ha'of Asurim Ba'na. And he leaves the Bitzarach Iyun. What I want to do is just introduce to you, and then I'll let you go, the next piece in Rav Moshe, because this is the piece that I'm holding in my learning in Tzvachim. I finally got to a piece that I'm mamish learning.
Can I suggest the Teres?
Yeah, please.
I'm sure it's completely off the mark. But who can have a no now from the Moran and Sasa?
I thought anybody.
See, the boss of the only the Kohen can eat.
Correct. Like everybody can have Hanoah from the Bosa. I mean, I don't know what you do with it, but
there's a kedusha that only the zechekuna can eat the carbon chatos.
But that's before Zrika. I don't think
after Zrika, the Balim can't have Hanoah from it. It goes to
again. I don't know what Hanoah you would have from it because it would have to be Hanoah that's not mafkia the coin from eating it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I don't know if you had.
You can't eat the maranas. They're not edible. For sure. I know. Say Indian feathers, whatever, right?
Oh, right. I thought you talked about the bossa. Yeah.
Okay. So the bossa and coin can eat. The balim has got no rights anymore. It's not shlomi. Shlomi the balim can share with his friends, but not
chatos.
So what gives the Torah gives the kind of the right to eat the basa? That's right. The Torah doesn't give the kind of the right to have the feather. I think by Behemoth they've got some rights to the leather, the whatever.
Oh, I see.
But again,
you're talking about an ola. Of an ola goes to the
Torah. We said earlier that the ownership of a carbon still belongs to the original owner.
Right. So what is an Isur Me'ilah?
So the feathers and the notes still belong to the original owners. What right the Kohen to have a Noah from it?
I see what you're asking. I'm just wondering,
that's what the right. Rambam was getting at. The Kohen can't have a Noah because the Torah is only matter to eat the Basar.
Oh, I
see. The Baal can't have it because it's got his Kachim is Bech and it never goes back to the Baal.
But again, let's read the Rambam and see if you can.
It doesn't quite fit the lashon of the Rambam.
Yeah, let's just see what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, "Who's a dama?" He's talking about chatas ha'ov.
Yeah.
Ain ba me'ila, aval also lehenos b'mora also v'notzasa. Now, what does he mean? He's talking after Azoya. There's an Isur Hanah from Morasa notzasa. who is this Isra? No, it's on the coin because
actually it's on the coin because it still belongs to the.
But that's not called an Isra. No, I mean you might
that
say
that would mean.
Yeah,
might be
Gzela or something.
Okay,
I don't know.
Sorry.
So let me just say a few words about the next piece, only because it's. I finally got to a piece that's relevant to the learning that I'm doing. You know, there's a Mishnah about Tarovis. In fact, the Perek itself is called Perek HaTarovis. The Perek from beginning to end is all about mixtures. And you have mixtures of two different damim, you have two different karbonos, you have two different bailim, you have mixtures of tachtonim and elyonim. It's a very wide range of cases. So let's say, for example, you have a mixture of dam kosher b'dam posel. Okay, so let's say one dam came from a balmum, a carbon that was a balmum, and it got mixed up with a carbon kosher, a tmimo. And it's all mixed up, dam v'dam. So the Mishnah says, that at least according to the Chachamim, I don't know about Rabbi Eliezer, but according to Chachamim, the Mishnah says, is Yetzei lo Oma. Oma was a tunnel that they used to take out all the psuya mukdashim, and it went out to a place called Nachal Kidron, and then they sold it for fertilizer. So Moshe asks the following question. I don't get it. I understand there's a problem of doing Zrika in this Tarovis. Why? Because you might be Zorek Dam Posel on the Mizbeach. And that's a no-no. We're not allowed to be Zorek Dam Posel on the Mizbeach. But on the other hand, you've got in this mixture Dam Kosher. Dam of a Behemoth Kosher. How can you throw it into the Omer? How can you let it be used in the Nachal Kidron for fertilize? We have a principle in Allah, and I mentioned it last week. Kedusha b'chdi lo paka. Like the Gemara has in the Dorma, Makdish something for 30 days, whatever, after 30 days it loses its status of Kedusha guf. Kedusha guf is essential to every fiber in the body of the animal. So you can't just say, well, after 30 days, poof. I mean, there are Allah's a pigeon. I don't know if pigeon's going to work, you can't shame his back, but wherever pigeon is chal. So what's going on here that we're going to take this mixture and we're going to pour it into the Omo, which means that it's completely lost? How can you do that? You're taking Dam Kodshim. Again, I don't know which Dam is the Kodesh. I can't identify it. All the Dam looks exactly identical. And there's Dam Posel, let's say there's Nirva and Rovea, there's Dam Posel from a Balmum, whatever the case may be. Fine, I don't mind if that dam goes down to the Nachal Kidron. But in this mixture, I have dam kodshim. How could I just be mafkia, that kedusha, and then just completely terminate it? How do you terminate kedusha? And we're talking about kedusha that's good for the highest level. Dam kodshim. It's after shechita, everything else. You have a dam in a klisha. So this is the next piece of Rav Moshe. And it's interesting for me, as I close, I just want to make a comment. You know, I've been flipping through a lot of this Sefer, and of all places, I found my most, you know, the section that I found most, that speaks to me the most, is Hilchos Me'ilah. I never would have guessed that Dafke Hilchos Me'ilah would have a blast. You know what I mean? All right, everybody should have a great day. Thanks for coming.
Is the Kedusha itself, is it not just a matter? Isn't there something about there's no piggle in dam? It's in dam itself. Could this be related?
Well, let's say, for example, you at the time of the shechita, you had in mind that you'd be zorked to dam tomorrow. So that's
okay,
piggle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the dam would become piggle. But here you have dam that's kosher. Again, I can't identify it.
The dam doesn't become the carbon when it's piggle, not the dam.
The dam itself is not pigul? Look it up.
I'm
could be
any
Sokal Lisa. It could be any Sokal Lisa.
Okay, let's see.
So I have a sense of an answer to this question because I think that there's halacha bittul over here.
But just like the
but how can there be bittul if it's bittul? That's the problem.
Once we've had the zrika, the part of the kedusha of the carbon goes away. I mean, it changes status. There's a change of status.
Right, but we never found that you could take the dam and just, you know, call it chol. That's why I thought that maybe we have to introduce the concept of the bittul here. That's how the dam posel is mevatel the dam kosher. It's similar to what we said in Chulin, if you remember, of Iser Nefach Lios Heter. You know, that Bittul could actually change the whole entity. So you have a Tarovus of two Dovid here. But again, it's going to be complicated, because which is the Rov and which is the Miut? You know, if you're going to tell me that Rov and the Dam is possible, maybe you could say that Rov Dam, the Miut Dam of Dam Kosher, is bottle the Rov, and therefore get rid of it. But if you're going to tell me that either it's 50-50, Mechzal Mechzal, or there's Rov of the Dam Kosher, then the Dam Kosher is not bottle. So how can you justify going out with Achal Kidron? That's about it.
Sure.